Beloved congregation of the Lord, a few years ago in Table Talk magazine was an article entitled, "The Spirit Inside You." And the question that was asked in that article is this: if you had the choice, would you rather have the Holy Spirit inside you or Jesus beside you? Just think about that for a second. Would you rather have the Holy Spirit inside you or Jesus beside you? What would be better? You know who tells us what's better? Jesus does. And then we read it together from John chapter 16 and verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." The Helper there is the Holy Spirit. "But if I depart, I will send him to you." So Jesus himself tells us that it is better to have the Holy Spirit inside you than Jesus beside you. Jesus brought forth the Christian church by sending his Holy Spirit like a rushing mighty wind, and the place where the apostles were shook with God's power. As a result of that, you read later on in the book of Acts that those apostles were the ones who turned the world upside down. The Holy Spirit today empowers all Christian ministry. He gives the church resurrection power over sin. He applies the promises of the Scripture to the hearts of believers. He indwells us, sanctifies us, conforms us to the image of Christ. He is God. Dear believers, He is God in us. The third person of the Holy Trinity. Not a force, not a power, a person. In the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 20, we confess this, that the Holy Spirit is true and co-eternal with the Father and the Son, and He is given to me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all His benefits, that He may comfort me and abide with me forever. That's a confession of faith. Is that your confession of faith too on this day of Pentecost? That true faith worked in you by the hearing of the Word of God and the operation of the Holy Spirit. That's what regenerates us. That's what makes us new creatures, freeing us from the bondage of sin and causing us to live a new life. This afternoon, our text is going to be John 16, verse 12 through 15. I'm just going to read you the first part of verse 13 at this time, but the text is verse 12 to 15. "However," says Jesus, "when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you." So that's our theme. The Holy Spirit will guide you. First of all, whom He will guide, then where He will guide, and thirdly, how He will guide. So whom will He guide? In our text, though we don't see it too clearly, we have a sample of the ones whom the Holy Spirit guides. Because who is Jesus talking to in these verses? Who is Jesus talking to in John 16? Well, it's one speech of Jesus from John 4, 14 through 16, and goes all the way to the end of 17. But of whom does the Lord Jesus say that the Holy Spirit will guide them? Who is the you in this text? And it says it six times. "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you things to come. He will declare it to you," verse 14, and the same in verse 15. "He will declare it to you." But who is this you in our text? I can tell you who it is not. From John 14, verse 17, where it says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. So the you in our text is not the world. It's not the ungodly. It's not unbelievers. Well, who is it then? Well, first of all, it's the disciples. Judas has left to betray Jesus. So the 11 disciples are with him. And what do we know about these men? Oh, they're so much like us. They have so little self-knowledge and so little Christ knowledge. Even in the previous chapters in John 13, Peter says to Jesus, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. That's what Peter says to Jesus. Thomas in chapter 14, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And in 14, verse 9, Jesus says, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, and you still don't know me. Those are the disciples. Those are the you that Jesus is talking to here. That's the first reference. But it's also all disciples at all times, all believers. In our text, Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you. After 3 years of being his followers, after hearing all of his sermons and seeing all his miracles and observing his sinless, perfect life, Jesus says to them, I still have many things to say to you. And it's true for believers today too, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ still has so many things to say to us. If he had said everything already, we wouldn't need to be in church. We wouldn't need to read our Bibles anymore. We would know it all. But Jesus says, I still have so many things to say to you. And not in the same sense as the disciples. They didn't have their New Testament. We do. We have the complete scriptures. And yet, he still has so many things to say to us. We don't learn everything in a day. It takes a lifetime of learning. I still have many things to say to you, he says, but you cannot bear them now. You can't carry them. That would be too heavy for you to carry. They needed more maturity. They couldn't endure all the things that Jesus still had to say to them. It would be too much to handle all at once. When they were ready, they would hear what Jesus still had to say. And the same is true for us. When we are ready, Jesus will reveal more of what he wants us to know. He's already got it all in the scriptures, but we don't get it all, do we? We don't see all the connections yet, but he still has many things to say to us. We are no wiser than those first disciples. We don't know everything there is to know of Jesus from the scriptures yet. We're not ready to hear everything at one time. Most of the time in a believer's life, there's a gradual growth in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And right now, we are not ready to hear all things. However, says Jesus, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you. So I have many things to say to you, but I'm not going to at this time. But the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you. Yes, you disciples. Yes, you believers. And the word guide here means to guide a person in learning, to guide someone in acquiring more knowledge, to lead someone to know, to guide a person's learning. And a guide always has a goal in mind, where he's going to lead this person, and where does this Holy Spirit lead believers? That's our second thought, where he will guide. Jesus tells us, we don't have to guess at this. He says he will guide you into all truth. Meaning, in Greek, all the truth, the complete truth, the full truth, the absolute truth. He's called the Spirit of truth. John 14, verse 17, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's what he's called in our text too, in verse 13. In chapter 15, the Spirit of truth shall testify of me, says Jesus. In Romans 8, he is called the Spirit of Christ. He will guide believers into all the truth. And Jesus says, I am the truth, meaning that he will guide us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first reference is to disciples. He will guide them into all truth. In their personal lives, their souls are led into the truth and in such a way that they are able to teach others. He inspires the disciples, some of them, to put that truth in black and white, and we read it on the pages of the New Testament. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. He filled those disciples, and Peter is transformed, and he boldly begins to preach the gospel. Jesus had said to Philip, "Don't you know me, Philip?" And yet we read of Philip in Acts chapter 8. He opened his mouth and he began at the scripture and preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. Among those same disciples were apostles who were led by the Holy Spirit to write the Holy Scriptures. As Peter says, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We confess this too in the Belgic Confession in Article 3. God, from a special care which he has for us and our salvation, commanded his servants, the prophets and the apostles, to commit his revealed word to writing. Now, what does that mean for us today then? Well, when the Holy Spirit guides us, he always does that through the word of God. That's what he uses. In our reading of the word of God, in the preaching of the word of God, he guides us into all the truth. Thy word is truth, said Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said this, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Four verses later, in verse 36, he says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The truth makes you free, the Son makes you free. Well, he will guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak on his own authority, says King James, New King James. And authority is in italics, meaning it's not there in the original language, so, and it shouldn't be here either. What it really says in Greek is, he will not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. Here again, the Dutch Bible had it correct. There's some people who want to hear of the Holy Spirit all the time. How he works, how he converts, how he convicts. Every sermon, they say, has to explain the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He will not draw attention to himself. So biblical sermons will not always be about the Holy Spirit's working, though some will be, because that's what the text does. But the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. Well, if he doesn't draw attention to himself, then to what or whom does he draw our attention as he guides believers into all the truth? See it in the middle of verse 13. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Jesus has taught us the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and his whole work is to guide believers, not to himself, but into all the truth. He's not going to bring a new message. He's not going to bring a different message, but the same message always as revealed in the Old and New Testament. That's his message. And that's the same message that Jesus proclaimed. That's the same what the Father proclaims. What does the Father say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that's also the truth that the Holy Spirit proclaims. The Father is well pleased in his Son. He will tell you things to come. And the Holy Spirit did show the disciples and the apostles things to come. Prophecies of future events, all truth. And it's all found in the Holy Scriptures. And today we have all the truth. We have our Bibles, but now we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into all that truth. Belgic Confession again, Article 2, we believe that those Holy Scriptures fully contain the will of God. And whatever man ought to believe unto salvation is sufficiently taught therein. All we need to know for faith and life is in this Holy Spirit inspired Bible. And he will guide you into all the truth. But how does he do that? That's our third thought. How the Holy Spirit will guide you. You see it in verse 14. He will glorify me, says Jesus. That means he will honor me. He will exalt me. He will lift me up. He will clothe me in splendor. The word order in Greek is me he shall glorify. The word me is at the front of the sentence. Me he shall glorify. That's most important. All the emphasis of Jesus will be on me. On me, the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit will praise me. He will honor me. He will exalt me. He will clothe me in splendor. Jesus himself says, me he shall glorify. And no one else but me. Now, glory and glorify are among the favorite terms in the gospel according to John. The whole life of Jesus is shown as the Son glorifying the Father and the Father glorifying the Son. In John 17, Jesus prays, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. In John 14, verse 13, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And that glorifying of the Son is brought about. We've seen it so often already in the gospel according to Mark, but it's brought about by the miracles and the healings that the Father has him perform. In John 11, you read of Lazarus. Children, you know this story so well. Lazarus was sick. And Jesus says to the disciples when they say, why aren't we going there? He says, well, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And that glorifying of the Son is brought about through his own people. In John 17, verse 10, I am glorified in my people, says Jesus. In our text, the glorifying of the Son is brought about by the Holy Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Son of God throughout the scriptures. And then he applies those scriptures to the souls of believers. He will tell us Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father. He will speak of the mystery of godliness, how God is received up into glory in Christ. The one grand theme of all of scripture is the glory and the glorifying of God and of Jesus. And dear believers, that's what we long for, isn't it? That our whole life may be to the glory of Jesus and of the Father. It runs throughout the scriptures. Speaking of his first coming, Isaiah writes, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The angel sang when Christ is born, glory to God in the highest. Paul writes to the Corinthians, you have crucified the Lord of glory. Stephen, when he's being stoned to death, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Referring to his second coming, Paul writes to Titus, we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We beheld his glory, writes John, as of the only begotten of the Father. Oh, that we would all be filled with this zeal for the glory of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. How will that ever happen? Well, Jesus tells us in our text, the Spirit of truth shall glorify me. Objectively, he does that in the Word of God. As our guide into all the truth, he shall shine, as it were, a spotlight on me, on the Lord Jesus Christ, in his glory. The Spirit shines the light. He illuminates the understanding of the disciples and of believers at all times to look to Jesus all the time, to look to Christ and to Christ alone, to glorify him. He does that by bringing us to a saving faith in Christ Jesus and a believing confession by asking us, who do you say that I am? And as the church of all ages, being in awe through seeing Christ's glory, worships the Savior, the only begotten Son of God, on our knees before him, that's the glory of his grace, of his love, his wisdom, and all his benefits. And the Holy Spirit's work is to make us partakers of this. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will glorify me. He takes of what belongs to me. He will guide you into all the truth, all my truth revealed in the Word of God, all those saving realities found in Christ Jesus the Lord. He will take of mine and he will tell you all about me. He will declare it to you. Taking the things of Christ and declaring it to believers, that's what the Holy Spirit does. That is what will glorify Jesus. And all of Scripture serves to that end, the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, all things that the Father has are mine. So when Jesus says he will take of mine and show it to you, he's not excluding the Father. No, Jesus' whole purpose too is to glorify Father in heaven. He shall receive of mine, and whatever the Father has is mine too. And the things the Holy Spirit declares to us belong to the Father and to the Son. Whatever the Holy Spirit hears, he will speak. He will take of mine, and whatever the Father has, and if you can sum that all up in one little phrase, he will guide you into all the truth. Thy word is truth. I am the truth. The Father has the truth. The Son owns the truth. The Holy Spirit takes it and shows it to us. You see how the Holy Trinity works to make this blessed possession the possession of believers. I and my Father are one, said Jesus. So it follows that all things that the Father has are mine. And he who has seen me has seen the Father. That can be such confusion at times, isn't it? Sometimes people say, well, by faith I know Jesus, but I don't know God the Father. And Jesus says, that can't be. That's impossible. He who has seen me has seen the Father. If you've seen Jesus by faith, you have seen the Father by faith. That's what Jesus says, regardless of what we might think. The Holy Spirit will take of mine and declare it to you. And where does he do that? He does that in our reading of the Holy Word of God. That's why it's so important to be steeped in Scripture. That's where the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us in our Bible reading, in hearing preaching. He takes of what is mine, says Jesus, and declares it to you. Notice what it does not say. Does not say he will take of what is yours and declare it to Jesus. That's not what he says. He also doesn't say he will take of what is yours and declare it to you. We so often try to do that. And we do the Holy Spirit's work, or we try to, but we get it all backwards. We take what is ours and we want to show the Lord Jesus something about me. For example, we want to show him our repentance and want to show Jesus how our life has changed. And here's an improvement, and I no longer do that bad thing. Do I still have to fight against it? True, but I'm very sincere, and I'm concerned and convicted and serious, and I even cry about my sins, Jesus. And I want to show Jesus this. I want to declare it to Jesus. And my prayers, I know they're not perfect prayers, but they have all the elements of true prayer: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And I pray at stated times and other times and in Jesus' name, and I try to pray the Scriptures. I want to show that to Jesus. That means something to me. And our works our church attendance. I never miss a worship service. I give the tithe. I stand up for the scriptures. I help out at the church. In any way I can, I strive to raise godly children, and I speak to my neighbors, and I'm involved with the Salt and Light ministry, and we want to make a long list of what is ours to show to Jesus as evidence of his grace, or to show him how badly we want to be saved. Why are we so anxious to show the Lord our things, the things of us, and show it to the Lord? It's because we don't know ourselves all that well. And because we rest and trust in ourselves, oftentimes more than in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will take of what belongs to Jesus and declare it to believers. Not what belongs to believers and show it to Jesus. Not what belongs to believers and show it to them. But he also says, or doesn't say, he will take of the Holy Spirit's work and declare it to you. Some people want to do that too. Then we want to check our life, and we want to look for all the marks of grace, and we put together all our Christian experiences. Then we come to a point where we can say, see there, at that time, how I was convicted of my sin. See there, at that place, I came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And see there, since that time and place, I'm trying to live a life of gratitude. He will not speak of himself. He will not speak of you either. Because then all the focus would be on us. And that's the wrong place for it. And all the focus would be on the Holy Spirit. And that's the wrong place, because Jesus says he will testify of me. Me he shall glorify. Listen to verse 14 and 15 once more. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said he will take of mine and declare it to you. True Christian experience is that the Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God and in you. The evidence of your true Christianity, beloved, is your knowledge of and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence of your true Christianity is your estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in our tears. The Holy Spirit says, Jesus wept. It's not in our works. The Holy Spirit says, Jesus said, I finished the work that the Father gave me to do. It's not in our prayers. The Holy Spirit says, Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. It's all about Christ Jesus, the Lord. The main question today is, who do you say that I am? What do you think of Christ? That's the main question on the day of Pentecost, not what do you think of the Holy Spirit or what do you think of yourself? Jesus said, search the scriptures, John 5, verse 39. They testify of me. Lord's Day 7, true faith is a certain knowledge and an assured confidence which the Holy Spirit works by the gospel in my heart, that remission of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given to me only for the sake of Christ's merits. And again, Christ is glorified. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, Paul says this, God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that means the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means the work of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit works through the preaching of the Word of God, then that preaching will be Christ-centered. A Christ-centered sermon is the Holy Spirit's work, because then Jesus himself is speaking The Spirit of truth, he said, will guide you into all the truth. Me he shall glorify. And who hears the voice of Jesus? John 18, verse 37. Everyone who is of the truth. That means everyone who is guided by the Holy Spirit into all the truth. And where will we hear that truth? In the Belgian Confession, Article 29, the first of the three marks by which the true church is known is if the pure doctrine of the gospel is preached therein. And that's why the Apostle Paul says the church of the living God is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Children, do you think that it's absolutely necessary for the Holy Spirit to guide you into all the truth? Is that absolutely necessary? It is. Because we cannot know the Lord Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit guides us to him and shows us him. And how can we get this Holy Spirit then? You know, in the Bible, he is ours for the asking. He's ours for the asking. You look a moment in Luke chapter 11. Just turn there. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read from Luke 11, 12, and 13. We're going to find out how we can get this Holy Spirit. Luke 11, verse 11, Jesus is speaking to a crowd of people, and there's fathers among those people. And he says, if a son asks for bread from any father of you, among you, will that father give him a stone? Children, imagine asking your dad for some bread. Would he give you a stone? Of course not. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? No, he wouldn't do that. Or if he asked for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion, one of those poisonous animals that will sting you and can kill you? Would a father do that? No. And then Jesus says, well, fathers, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who, what does it say? Ask him. I told you he was yours for the asking. Our heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Well then, let's keep asking him. And when we receive him, he will guide us into all truth. He will declare to us the things of Jesus. He will glorify Jesus because he will take of what is Christ and show it to us. And you, dear believers, who are already being led into all the truth, you know your need of the Lord Jesus more today than you did last year. Isn't that true? You need Christ more now than ever before. That's because the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. And he shows you the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, the necessity of Jesus Christ, the suitability of Jesus Christ, the passion of Jesus, the patience of Jesus, the grace of Christ, the mercy of Christ, the love of Christ. And the Lord Jesus becomes more and more necessary to you and more precious to you. So is your love for Jesus growing, your need for Jesus ever expanding. That's the result of the Holy Spirit guiding you into all the truth. I close with 2 Peter 3, verse 18, where Peter writes to believers, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.